watch it, you die. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Go Watch a Movie, episode 19. That was just about anybody from the Ring movies, and that's the theme for today in the Ring Spectacular. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
Once again, this is Go Watch a Movie, a movie discussion podcast. And today, as I mentioned, it's the Ring Spectacular. We watched all three Ring movies with Rings just coming out today. Go ahead and get into some, well, since this is one of our spectacular episodes, which are themed, if you've never listened before, we normally just try and stick to that theme. So not going to do movie news today, going to do Ring trivia.
Okay.
But first, one thing from movie news, and this hurt me. Peter Capaldi announced that he's leaving Doctor Who. This is his last season coming up here. Anyway, the Ring Spectacular, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see. These are, of course, remakes. The first one was a remake of Ringu, or just Ring, in 1998. Mm-hmm. And then there was a Ring 2 in 1999. And then the Ring that America knows and loves came out in 2002. Then Ring 2, 2005. Then this current one, 2017. That's a big gap.
I didn't realize that was a big gap
between this one and the last one. Another little thing, between some of the scenes, you can see a flash of the ring in the first Ring movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you notice that. It's like you blink, you miss it.
Yep.
And this would have been interesting if I would have paid attention. But before the movie premiered, the killer video that everyone watches was shown as a commercial. And it didn't have anything like to do with the movie. I just played that video as a commercial. Can you imagine that just comes
that's crazy.
But yeah, that's a little bit of Ring trivia. I have a little bit more for later on. But anyway, let's get into this. The Ring. We'll start with, of course, the first one. Well, not the Japanese films, because I haven't seen those.
Have you? Yeah, I haven't seen the original ones.
Me either. But The Ring. This one, of course, stars Naomi Watts as the main character, Rachel. Thank you, Robert.
No problem.
But yeah, first thing I want to say is I hate the kid.
Yes.
I despise Aiden. And I don't know if he is intentionally a creepy little bastard.
Is that why? Because he's a little creepy little dude?
He's a creepy little bastard, and then he's like smug.
Mm-hmm.
He's smug as all get out. Like the first time we kind of meet him, he doesn't call his mom. He calls her Rachel by her first name. And then he goes outside, and he's at the school. And then he, like, sees his dad, but I don't know if he knows he's his dad at that point, but they just kind of do this awkward stare at each other in the rain. But the first Ring, I gotta tell you, I loved it.
Yep.
When I originally saw it, I loved it, and upon the second watching, or how many watching it is, I loved it just as much. The perfect blend of horror and technology, of course, back then, it fit more with the cassette, the VCR tapes and everything. But, yeah, what about you?
Yeah, the first one, I definitely love the first one. I remember seeing it in theaters and was just creeped out and weirded out by it. It's like, yeah, this is good stuff. After so many years have gone by, it's lost its luster a little bit.
Yeah, it's not creepy.
It's not, I mean, this is one of those ones where the first watch is the best watch. Mm-hmm. And after that, you kind of know the mystery. And the thing that I liked about it was that there was a mystery. I mean, you don't know the story behind the tape, why it's doing what it's doing, or that there's a little girl in a well, and you find that. That's what's so great about it, because it leads up to that. The other ones don't really. The first one was great. I loved it a lot.
Yeah, and I don't know if anyone's not seen the first Ring, the Ring movie, but it's based on a VCR tape that some people find, and if you watch it, the tape is cursed, and then you get a phone call right after you watch it, and a little girl comes on and says 7 days, meaning 7 days that you will be dead in 7 days. And apparently in the original I was looking up, it's only 2 days. The American version switches to 7 days. Yeah. And that whole well explanation. But, yeah. So, and then the killing ensues after, like, weird stuff happens throughout those 7 days. And then the seventh day, she comes out of something electronic?
Wherever,
is it a mirror as well?
It's a screen of some sort. Yeah. Every time. Whether it's, like in the last movie, a phone or a TV screen or something. It's,
yeah. But yeah, she comes out of there and you can't unplug it. You can't turn it off. I don't know if anyone ever tried to smash a screen.
No.
But, yeah. And she gets out of there and gives you kind of
gives you stank face or something. Yeah. gives you a look.
Remember the Ghost Rider movie, Penitent Stare, where he makes you see all your evil deeds? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of... But yeah, she just stares at you out of all that hair, and then you are found later with this rictus, open, wide, gaping thing, like you were frightened to death. But, yeah.
What I thought it was supposed to be was, like, what she ended up looking like after being down in the well or something, but I don't know if that's right or not.
That's it seemed like it sounds better. Yeah. but, yeah, like I said, the first one just captured my imagination because, you know, being a movie buff, television buff, watcher, like, it's like, oh, man, that's connecting, you know, home. Like, what do you think of the little girl, like, as far as a creature villain, I guess?
I think at the time it was awesome because you hadn't, well, besides, I don't know year-wise when The Grudge came out, but that was when you started getting the creepy girls with the long hair and you couldn't really see your face. But I liked it at the time. I mean, now I think
it's overdone.
Yeah, overdid it, but at the time it was great.
Yeah, same here. Because it's just, you can't see under that, and the way she moves, kind of a arm out, knee over arm, crawl towards you, just creepy as all get out. But in my opinion, I'm going to go ahead and call my shot here. This one was the best in the series.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, Naomi Watts, like, I don't know about how I like her character either, as Rachel. Like,
you like Rachel?
My whole thing with horror movies, and this is more evident in the third, but like common sense just goes right out the window, and they're like, screw it, I'm going to go explore this creepy mansion at night, despite I can wait till morning, I got a little bit more time, I'll wait till morning, take some friends, maybe take a cop or two, but no, they gonna do it at night.
Talk about the last one, right?
Yeah.
That one, I think she had to because she was being kind of led by Samara, and she had to get there at that time.
Gotcha.
Right when Samara was going to appear so she could get the dad.
Okay. So Samara was forcing her to do it? Okay. We'll get there. But yeah. I guess Rachel didn't really... She was just like, because in the first one, she was this reporter trying to find a story. Then she watched it and realized she got cursed, right? And was trying desperately to,
And then accidentally cured herself of
accident,
it.
Yeah.
And figured it out. Damn, that's what she had to do.
Yep. And killed her estranged baby daddy in the process. Yeah.
With her because that's the second guy out of two movies.
Yeah,
she gets killed. So stay away from her, guys. I liked Rachel. I thought she was awesome. I like Naomi Watts.
She's a strong heroine, or
not as a hero. I just liked her acting. Her acting was on point. It was just, I think it brought something to the movie because usually in a horror movie you get people can't act,
especially blondes.
Yeah, they're stupid. They just use. You can't look up to them. You know, they're not doing a good job.
Yeah.
But, you know, this particular case, they picked the right person to play that role. Yeah. So I thought she was great.
I wasn't bashing her acting. I was there was something. Now, a question I have for you, sir.
Yes.
Let's say you know the way, you watch the video. You know the way to cure it. Would you murder someone? Because that's essentially how you cure yourself, is murdering someone.
Well, I'm going to keep jumping from movie to movie. And I'm not avoiding the question. But in the third one, they keep passing it along from person to person. There's a tail.
Yeah.
They keep going from person to person. So, I guess you are still murdering somebody if they don't get their tail. But
if you explain fully what that next person needs to do, And if they don't do it, it's on them at that point.
It's not like you're doing the, you know, It Follows where you just give it to them and then you run away and like, oh, they, you know, survive so they don't come back after you. But I would I wouldn't just do it and not explain it to somebody.
It's a tape. Watch this. I would give it to an enemy, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I hate somebody that much.
Those kids were like giving it to their basically their friends and stuff as a joke or a prank or something. It was kind of weird. I didn't get
that. Like the dude. Well, any more to say about the first one?
I liked it.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Of course, I'll give it a go watch. Just kicked off the trilogy, the American trilogy, and Aiden sucks. Well, in between here, I think I had another little The Ring trivia. So the author of the novel that the movies are based off of named it The Ring. He referred to the circular nature of the curse. So The Ring isn't just like the opening of a well or the bell. It's how the curse works. You have to, you know, keep copying it and passing it on. And a little trivia for part two. On the seventh day of production, the pipes broke in the office of the production studio and flooded the whole thing. So it kind of fit the theme of the movie. So they all freaked out, and the director, who was the director of part of the original two from Japan, called in a religious ceremony to bless the place. I can imagine that being a little scary. You know, you go in there and everything's flooded over and you're making this movie about this chick who emerges from water. But so yeah, a little trivia there. That's what I have from that. We'll get into some Potter family promos here.
This week on the Epic Film Guys podcast.
I need more beer. Go give me more beer.
And some McDonald's and a double cheese.
I'm the Beauty and the Beast.
No one fights like Gaston.
Oh, there's a new thing happening on the Epic Film Guys podcast. No more man behind the mask until Beauty and the Beast is released. It's Beauty and the Beast.
This is Emily Prokop from The Story Behind, a podcast exploring the extraordinary history behind the ordinary. I publish twice a week, on Mondays and Thursdays, so that's two chances for you to listen. All this month, I'm doing a series called Forrest Gump February, in which each episode focuses on the story behind a different historical or pop culture reference made in the 1994 Tom Hanks movie. The episode for Monday, February 6th, is the story behind the stand in the schoolhouse door, in which Alabama Governor Wallace stood in the doorway of the University of Alabama, denying access to the first two black students trying to enter. The episode for Thursday, February 9th, is the story behind ping pong, including its beginnings as a parlor game, and going into what led Americans entering China for the first time in 20 years during what became known as ping pong diplomacy. Tune in to find out how you can be part of The Story Behind, and find the show on your favorite podcast app or at thestorybehindpodcast.com.
And we're back. We'll go ahead and go into trailers, one of my favorite segments. So, you want me to go first? Or?
Sure. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, I remember, and I don't know how it didn't just pop right into my head from the get-go, because this is included in this franchise. The Ring versus The Grudge. This is a real movie that exists in Japan. In Japan, it's called Sadako versus Kayoko. I guess that's Samara and the Grudge chick's names. But this is a movie they made over there, and it's a grudge match, pun intended. the premise is a girl watches the Ring movie, and then someone moves into the grudge house, and they both realize that they're cursed, so they get the idea of playing the Ring movie in the Grudge house, hoping that the two spirits do battle, and the hilarities ensue. I haven't been able to find a English subbed trailer, but the trailer you watch, you get the drift from watching it. They seem to realize that they're what they are making and don't take it wholly seriously. But and they even have the creepy little kid from the Grudge. that one, if you get a chance, I don't know if you've seen that one. Mm-hmm. Check out that trailer. You, sir?
Mine, yours was much better, but mine was Don't Knock Twice. I don't know if you've seen that
trailer. I saw a poster for it, not the trailer. What is this one about?
Well, basically, it's about a teen. Goes to an abandoned house. Apparently, if you knock once, you wake this creature up or this little demon witch thing. What, I don't know what it is. And if you knock twice, then you summon the witch, and then she basically curses you, and then eventually kills you somehow. And so she goes, and I guess she knocks twice, but then I guess she tries to get away from it by going off into the country. I guess she's living with an aunt or a relative or something. Doesn't really explain it that well in the trailer, but she basically runs away. And I guess this thing kind of follows her and starts wreaking havoc. And then I guess they try to get to her and get either possess her or whatever the thing does to you. I don't know. But I mainly like this one because it has Katie Sackhoff. And she was in a couple movies that I like. She was in one of the Riddick movies, and she was in Oculus. She played the mom in Oculus.
Okay, yep.
So I liked her a lot. So this trailer kind of caught my eye because she was in it. So that is my pick. Don't Knock Twice.
I have to check out that trailer. I like where the curse thing kind of just follows you around. After it follows, it just kind of is a thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me briefly go back before we jump on The Ring 2. Like, that's one thing I loved about The Ring 1 is how it ended. Like, you thought she put it all to rest and solved this mystery. Let's live happily ever after, but nope.
That was a classic horror movie ending, though. True. You think it's going to be everything's, you know, good, but then the horror is still there.
Mm-hmm.
So
it leaves it up for making a franchise. And, yeah.
Well, I like how the little kid was like, "Why'd you wake her? Or why'd you save her? Or whatever."
Yeah. Why'd you do that?
Like, what do you mean, why'd I do that? She never sleeps. Like, that wasn't even an explanation.
It wasn't a good one. But and that's the thing. But I like about Samara is like she uses people. Like she makes it seem like. You're gonna solve this big mystery and set me free.
Which really takes a turn when you get. Which really goes full circle when you get to the third movie.
Yes.
Or if it is the third movie, it's the third movie, but it's not called Ring 3, it's Rings. But.
And after watching the sequel, which we're getting to now, the Ring 2, it kind of doesn't fit.
Not completely.
After, like, because Ring 2. Really flip flops what she is and what she does, in my opinion. Like, because it kind of, you see the tape briefly, but then they kind of stray away from that. It becomes a, like, she wants a mom possession movie. Like,
yeah, it's strange. It didn't stick with the first one.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they were doing there. That's probably why the pipes broke, because Kyle was like, "You're not making as good of a movie as you should. Stop."
But yeah, this one brings back Aiden, sorry, and Rachel.
He does play creepy, weird, good.
He does.
You seen him when he was eating the peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Dude, man. He plays creepy well. I don't know, there's something about him. I just want to punch him in his little face. But but yeah, he does creepy well, and Rachel... comes back, Naomi Watts, thank you, Robert.
Yep.
I looked that up and I was so sure of myself. I said that way. but yeah, they come back and we get a new guy for her to kill off, who she latches onto quite well. So they move to a new town after all the incidents of part one to get away from that and start fresh. But and can't mind her own business. Because if she would have just let good enough alone, I don't think Samara would even bother to find her.
Nope.
Like, So she hears, she is in a new, is she editor now or?
Yeah, she's up to, yeah.
Big way. Yeah, she's at a new newspaper in this new town, has her own little office, and then she's leaving for the day. She hears, which is the opening to the movie, someone else watching the tape, and which I like that opening. I don't want to skip past that. Like, it reintroduces the ring thing. This boy is free. It kind of reminded me of It Follows. Like, this kid is like freaking out. And at first he's all calm because he wants her to watch this tape. He's like, hey, let's watch this tape. Boy has invited a girl over for some Netflix and chill. And he wants her to watch this tape. And she's like, but aren't we here for... And he's like, no, I just watch this. And then he lays it on with a kiss. And then he instantly bursts into the kitchen and he's angry and he's looking at the timer, he's counting down the time, and then he gets so frustrated, and then he's about to go out there and yell at her, which I think he kind of does, and he hears the music, so he goes in and he's calm. Then his buddy calls him, and like Robert said, it sounds like they prank each other. Mm-hmm. Like, because his buddy's like, you get somebody to watch it, man, I told you you'd be good. And he's like, yeah, some chick from school. Like, you don't have to worry about anything. She's a dead one. She's like, you know, it's like, what? These are high school kids. But then the room starts filling with that murky, dark water.
Yeah, he does the strangest thing. He goes and he stands in it. Yeah. It's just, I did not understand.
He walks over to it and stands in it. And he goes out there to see, what the heck? Didn't you watch it? And she's smartly has her hands over her eyes. She's like, I played it, but I didn't watch it. And yeah, then he, of course, gets ringed. I don't know if that's a proper term, but he gets ringed. But yeah, then we go back to Rachel, and they've moved in and that sort of thing. But she hears over the radio as she's leaving that someone has been killed in that familiar way. And I would be like, whoa, that's a little close to home. Maybe even move again. Maybe go to that extreme, knowing that this supernatural thing has found this town. But nope, she goes to the house and has to see the body.
She may have felt a little guilty because she basically buy a copy and then sending it out there. So
that is true. But in the earlier scene, she is like, we don't have anything to feel guilty about. We only made one tape. But yeah, she is the cause of it, I guess. That is true. Is she though? Would it have not gotten out?
No, it wouldn't. They would never have found her, or it would never have found them if she hadn't gone to that house and got the cabin and then burned it.
Which is another thing. Part one, she goes to that dang cabin and instantly walks over to that VCR tape. And I'm like, what? How does she know that's the one? Just because it's blank?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, that's got to be it.
But yeah, I guess I could. Oh, well, yeah. I guess I would feel bad sending out a murderous demon upon the world. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I would have to go and see the body. Like, I would just go in there and get the tape if that was the case. Like,
man, I don't know why the parents weren't still there. The parents should have been there. They wouldn't have been at the hospital because, well, I don't think they would have been. The guy was dead.
Yeah.
So they should have been at home. But I don't understand that. There's a lot of weird things going on in that movie that I just didn't get. I was just maybe scratching my head, like, why?
Part two was definitely a slump, a drop down. But yeah, I don't know. There were a lot of things that I didn't get as well. Like Samara, all of a sudden, even though we find out that she, at the end of part one, she is vengeful and she wants to hurt people. All of a sudden, now this is the woman who found me. So I want her to be my mom.
Does she really want to hurt people?
So because are you referring to when she's in the hospital on that tape? She's like, I don't want to, but it won't stop like that.
But when she was alive, she did. She was, something was wrong with her. But I guess there's still something wrong with her. But after that, she's more like, she just wants people to hear her story of how she got killed, basically. She's just bouncing from person to person until she, which is introduced in the third movie, finds the right people who can get her to where she wants to go, which is to where her dad is.
Is that, but then,
I don't know. I think the people she was killing, she was just killing them because they weren't the right ones.
They weren't the right people.
Well, I just want to spread my message. So she used them to try to spread her message. But then there's no way for them to know that's how they're supposed to spread the message, by making a copy and showing it to somebody else, unless somebody who's already done it.
But then she continues on, though, after she finds the right people.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, at the very end of there, I guess you're right.
Like, that's what I mean. She's like, she just seems like a vengeful, because she's known nothing but hate. Like, her mom tried to kill her, her other mom tried to kill her, mm-hmm. her dad, she's born out of sin. Like, it's like, I don't know, like, so, I mean, I can't blame her for being pissed, but you're right, she does want her story to continue, which is the whole point of her. But is that to spread hate or murder?
Like, yeah, I'm not sure because the third one made me feel like
different.
Well, yeah, it changed my opinion over. Like, first one, yeah, I think she was just this evil thing that just wanted to continue to kill. And the only way to continue to kill is for people to keep sharing the tape.
Do you think the events in part two kind of changed her mind?
I don't even want to like include part two because it just didn't work for me. Story-wise. But then the third one, I think they carried over perfectly from the first, saying, okay, she's doing this because she wants to find the right people, and she's found 13 of them, apparently. There's 12 before her. She said, he said the guy, the priest, said that there was 12. Well, we're skipping ahead, but...
but, so part two, kind of a debacle in the series, kind of a bad hump, because... Samara just wants to possess Aiden, and I would too, just to try and cheer the little bastard up. But she wants to possess Aiden and make him and enjoy time with her mom, who saved her, quote unquote, in part one. Which it just doesn't make sense, because in the end we find out that she didn't really want Rachel to save her. She just wanted to be unleashed, and yeah. Anyway, part two was a mess, and yep. I think we can safely move on from it and get to the better part three. Not as good as one, but not bad, in my opinion. Part three, Rings. So
why do you think they named it Rings instead of Ring Three?
I don't know. There were a lot of rings in it. maybe because she's the rate she spreads.
I can see that at the end, but
yeah. And his whole, like, he had a whole organization of rings.
I don't know what that was all about. It was like a little secret key to get into a secret
above
club.
Above the school.
Above the school club.
Apparently they don't go with nobody else, but yeah. The rings... Naomi Watts is gone. No more Rachel and Aiden.
Which made me sad. Well, about the Rachel part.
About the Rachel. I was like, you got a little wave for Rachel.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
No. But I love the opening scene here. I am curious if they died or not. Like the entire plane crashed? Because she kind of screwed up some electronics.
I feel like she got the dude.
Yeah, she definitely got him. Oddly enough, Paramount released the entirety of that scene on Twitter a couple days ago. I didn't watch it just because I knew I was going to watch it in theaters, but the entire opening scene is available on Twitter or Facebook, unless they've taken it down. And I switched too, because it was DreamWorks at first, I think. But anyway, there's a cool plane scene where this guy is on his seventh day, and I was going to say, like, I don't know how she's going to get him, but there were TV screens in every seat. And oddly enough, she didn't come out of one of those. She came out of the pilot's... Oh, well, I'm sorry. Once again, we are a movie discussion podcast. We spoil movies because we discuss them in their entirety, or as much as we can remember. but, yeah, she... She gets them.
I like that there was a woman on the train who had also seen the tape, so he knew what he was about to happen and tried to help him, but couldn't because there's nothing she could do. But
Yeah. Like, she realized, it would have been great if she just is like, "You've seen it? Did you make a copy?" He's like, "No." And she just pushes him out of the plane, opens the door, shoves him right out of there.
It would have killed everybody.
It would have been pressure.
That would be
yeah.
funny, though.
or locked him in the bathroom, but... so this guy gets got in the plane, and then they kind of just forget about those people, because I guess the plane crashes or whatever.
It was all about his old joke that he gets stolen later after
that. Yeah, so it was a good setup, actually. I like that. He explains that he, which is a question I proposed to Robert before we went and saw this one. How are they going to, include the VCR tape in this 2017 movie? Well, he explains, before he died, I found this old VCR player to play this tape that my friend gave me, or that he got. And then next scene, what's his face from Roseanne and the Big Bang, he's known for now, Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. But he is a junk hound, I guess, a vintage hound. He likes to find old stuff. So he finds this whole collection of VHSs and a VCR, and guess what's stuck in there?
Yep, the tape.
The tape, the killer tape. And he gets it played, and weird stuff instantly starts happening to him.
The rain going up.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, Sam.
Rain going up, the fly that's in all three movies.
Mm-hmm.
Goes
through the window and
comes out of his doobie and
goes through the I'm surprised they didn't make a reference to the fact that he was smoking that and he'd seen all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, I thought for sure they were going to.
But they didn't.
But then we find out that he is a professor.
But then let me ask you a good question.
Okay.
He watched the film.
Mm.
He had 7 days.
Mm.
How did he know? Because he hadn't seen that film before. I'm assuming he didn't know about it. How did he know, unless he researched from somewhere else, that he had to make a copy and show it to somebody?
See, that's what I'm assuming, why they threw him in the whole professor role. They want to be like, this guy is so smart. He did all his research and discovered everything. Because, he had no idea after watching it. He just kind of, weird stuff started happening. And I guess he was just so intrigued, maybe, that he researched.
I think he wanted to become famous and write a book about it. Mm-hmm. Or prove that there is a soul or something.
Yeah, that was his whole point.
Got all these kids to, or young adults, whatever you want to call them.
So we're getting into, whatever, the whole, this guy starts a cult, basically, of the Ring Watchers. I don't know what you would call it, but he starts to, I guess he has, I don't know how many people, there were lots of people.
A lot of people there, yeah.
But he has a secret society of people who he makes watch the tape, and then he has a tail. What is it called? A tail
is the person that he picks to watch the tape after you watch it, so
yeah,
he can just continue on.
And he had a whole ring of this, a whole thing of this, people cycling through. He had photos of everyone,
TV screens up with their name and the clock counting down.
So I'm not sure how long after he watched it did all this flash forward to, but he had all pictures of certain clips from the video just frozen and still in the place. It was like some kind of nightclub that they all hung out in, awaiting their turn to possibly die. But from what it seems, no one died until her. You think that's how that was? That's kind of what I got. What was your overall thought of this one?
Overall thought of the third movie, I liked it. I thought it gave us something different in the Ring story.
Mm.
So instead of just doing the same thing over, because that would have been pointless, keep making the same movie over. I guess they tried to do that in the second one. I just didn't like what they tried to do. But I enjoyed what they did with the third one. I don't think it's a great movie overall.
No.
But I enjoyed the direction they went with the whole Ring story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely fits the franchise, and I like to leave some bounds more than part two.
I would have preferred different leads.
Yeah.
I didn't like either one of those, the girl or the guy.
The guy was plain. Plain.
Didn't change the bone with anybody.
Yeah.
Look good with his shirt off, that's about it.
Basically. she, I guess.
You did nothing for me. I don't know.
I wish I had her name up right now, their names, but.
They weren't bad actors or actresses. I mean, they did fine jobs, but it's just, I don't know. They weren't the right leads for those roles. I couldn't connect to them.
Mm-hmm. I liked him. I liked the professor. He did, I think,
he did a good job. Yes.
He was kind of this weird, kind of not caring, go with the flow, edgy professor dude.
He drank and smoked weed.
Yeah. Told the kids to go drink after class. Like,
he liked to hear himself talk. You could tell that. Yes. When he was giving his little speech there in his class. He was aware though that he was a murderer. Mm-hmm. He's like, there's two truths, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, I didn't kill him, or I didn't kill her, and I did kill her. So
yes, one of the people in his little nightclub ends up. Well, I guess we should skip over the main characters. These two are desperately in love. They nail that home in like a 5-minute goodbye thing. Like, they still are so in love. They Skype every day at 9:30 at night, and oh, love, whatever. But one of them goes off to college and is in this professor's class and joins this ring that we talked about, and he is part of that. And the girlfriend is, I guess, desperately in love, because she flips out one day when he stops calling. And I guess it wasn't that. It was that crazy chick who...
Yeah.
A crazy chick Skypes her through his Skype with the messed up ring face, which happens after you watch the video. And she just packs it up and goes to where he is in college.
Oh, that reminds me. I hate to jump back, but in the ring too, the little kid is like, don't take a picture of me. And he set the camera there and then pushed the button so I automatically take a picture. I wish we could have saw what picture they took.
Yeah. Maybe, I wonder if that was like an after...
After maybe the credits, there's a deleted scene. I don't know. But I wish I could have seen what that picture was. Like, maybe it was her or Samara sitting in between them, or like that. What was that movie where there's like a spirit on the guy's back? I don't know if you saw that one.
Oh!
I can't remember the name of it. There's a lot of photography.
I forget.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It might have been like that or something. But I wanted to see that photo, but it never showed you, which kind of bothered me.
Yeah, they never went back because clearly he was recording.
Because
mm-hmm. little possessed Aiden looked at it and kind of did his weird little look at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would have been interesting to see. They do kind of the hangover montage of it after.
Back to number three.
I forgot where it was. Oh, when she goes, she's so in love, in fact, after she discovers that he's in this cult of Samara, that he only has, 12 hours or something like that? After
12 hours after he's the tail for the girl. I think her name was Sky, maybe.
Yeah.
Like so he had 12 hours longer than she did to live.
Yeah. And this chick who's in love with him goes in knowing everything that's about to happen and watches the tape to save his life.
Yeah, that part, I don't know. Sometimes people, I don't know. It's like, why do that to yourself? Why do you have to see it?
Yeah.
It's like, you tell somebody there's something behind that door that you don't want to see. And they open the door to see what it is. Like,
I have to do this. And she knew full well that this is all true.
Well, I guess she did do it to save his life. So
that nobody
they love each other. They want,
But she witnessed through a door, mind you. But she witnessed what Samara does to people.
Mm-hmm.
And saw the result, the rictus dried up face, and still, I guess that shows to prove how loyal she is to him, but she still watched the video to save his life, which sucks because, I don't know if it sucks because I don't think she would have let it happen, but he got to tell a person to watch it like minutes after. Like, he gets a call from the professor saying, I found your hotel. And the guy goes, it's not my tell anymore. But, would you do that for someone you love? Would you watch that Ring movie?
Oh, yes.
I probably would for my mom, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, that's probably going to get me in trouble. Anyway, then they forced her to make a copy, right?
Yeah, they forced her to try to make a copy. Yes. She wasn't able to make a copy because she's the chosen one, one of the chosen ones. And I guess they look at the file size to figure out why she couldn't make a copy, and because it's so much bigger than the original. So then they go to investigate even more. Apparently, there's video within video. I don't know how you do that, but there's video within video.
Tamara is a technical whiz.
And the dude is somehow able to pull out that video within video and piece it together just for this main character to watch. Nobody else apparently watches it, even though he was sitting facing the TV that she was watching, and the boyfriend turned around and was facing the computer where he had pulled it up at. So they both should have been able to see it.
How did they come to that conclusion? Like, the professor dude's like, I think this is just for her. Like, where does that come from? Like, you've been watching this.
Because she made a copy, or she didn't make a copy. She watched a copy.
Yeah, she watched Holt's copy.
Yeah, so it was Holt then. Not her, really, that made the copy.
Yeah, and then she tried to copy his copy, and then it made that big one.
No, she did make the copy, didn't she?
Yeah, because she tried to copy
his copy. She got on the computer, and then she made a copy of his copy, and then watched
it. But at first, it said it wouldn't make it, but then the professor went up there and did something, and he's like, oh, yours is bigger. But anyway,
there's video within video, so she watches it.
And a new kill video was made, only it's not a kill video.
It's things that are about to happen but haven't happened yet video.
Yes. It's a Find My Mom video. My mom's lost. Find her. Which once again, part two, I don't know. The continuity seems a little off with part two and this one.
Right.
They don't necessarily say her mom was killed, but I think the psychiatric hospital will let them know, like, this whole town's looking for a missing person for 30 years. Let them know, hey, she's here.
And she is using her name.
She is using her name. She's not using an alias. Yeah,
they don't meld together.
Yeah, they don't mash. Because in part two, Samara's mom is in a psychiatric hospital and is crazy and helps once again to put Samara in her place, I guess, for lack of a better word. Which I hated the ending of part two as well. I didn't like that whole, this is the only way she can get out because the thing is cracked open. Like, it was completely closed in part one, but they put they opened it.
Well, I guess that was in Samara's little world, like little astral plane type world where she could crawl out of stuff. I don't know. That's what I was assuming, why it was open there, and she needed to get into her world to close it. That's how I rationalized it in my head, that figured it, that's why they did that, but I don't know.
But even still, she still got out of there.
She still eventually. That's why they don't meld.
Two doesn't make sense, because we find out in part three, I can't think of the girl's name. The guy's Holt. Julia. Julia watches the mom video that the mom has been missing for 30 years. And Samara just showed up on a doorstep. And she just showed up on somebody's doorstep and then got adopted that way. Part two should be forgotten. I don't know. So this big plot twist in part three. I don't know if it's supposed to be a plot twist, but the fact that is Samara's mom. Like, the moment I saw there was a pregnant woman standing on the side of the road, I was like, yeah, Samara's mom. But then she's like, when she gets down there, it was her mother. Like, you don't have these visions. You should know that.
Right?
You know?
Just because you have the visions doesn't mean you know what they mean.
This is true.
According to the priest.
And let's get to the priest. I don't know if it's too soon for the priest, but
never too soon for a priest.
Vincent D'Onofrio. I didn't know he was in this movie.
Yeah, I saw him in there. Yeah, I saw that.
You saw him in the trailer?
I don't remember the trailer, but I know he was in it.
You know he was in it?
I was like, oh, he's my boy.
He's quickly becoming my boy as well. He is awesome.
He keeps picking those roles that aren't the main role. Well, yeah. But he brings them, and just good stuff.
Would you say he was more of a villain in this one than Samara?
He was definitely more of a villain than Samara.
Yeah, see?
He was a hidden villain.
Yes.
Samara isn't hidden. She's right there in your face.
Literally.
Yeah, but he was like, you didn't know it. So that was a good twist. I did enjoy that
part. I did too, yeah. He was this, he wasn't a priest when we meet him. He was a caretaker of the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
A blind caretaker.
Ooh,
blind. Right. but they go to find some where Samara was laid to rest after being moved from the well, and she's not in there. And this chick has these crazy... This chick, Julia... I don't even have to call her a chick. That's not PC.
Chick.
Julia is knowing she's having visions. She's knowing she's possessed or about to die. She's going through the 7-day effect. This cult knows she's going through the 7-day effect. Yet he lets her run off on these wild vision quests. It's like, why don't you grab her by the shoulders and say, look, weird stuff happens while she is possessing you.
They don't even know if it's 7 days because all this stuff is happening sooner to her, so they think it might be shorter than seven days.
Yeah, exactly. She instantly gets one of the Samara scars, whereas normally you would get the handprint around, 5 days, I guess they said, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's...
This is kind of jumping ahead, but why do you think she got it in Braille? Because the only person that would have been able to read it would be her dad.
And that's why I think your theory is a good one, because, like you said, Samara's purpose in this one was to get to her dad and kill him.
Well, why would she say rebirth? Because if I were Samara, and I was sending somebody a message, I'd say, I gotcha. I wouldn't say rebirth. I'd say, I gotcha. Just to let him know.
That would change that dinner table scene where he grabs her hand and all... What the? He probably would have killed her right there.
Right?
But yeah. Like, I guess it was a double whammy for her. She's like, my dad will be the only one who can read this, and I'll be the one with the last laugh. But see, that's the thing, too. Like, that kind of throws a wrench in the plot of this movie. Not that it's the best plot in the world, but he reads Rebirth, and you would think he would take action right there, knowing full well that there's like...
You may have felt outnumbered because the dude was there.
True. He did,
not that he was back, much help later, but yeah.
Yeah, when she comes back, he's like, oh, the boy's not with you. Yeah, so I guess you're right there.
Yeah, I do like the little... There's at the very beginning of the movie, she's like, why does it always have to be the guy that comes and saves the girl?
True.
And, so basically the movie's trying to make her the main hero.
Doesn't he still come and save her, kinda?
Not really. He doesn't do it. He comes in there, but he doesn't save her.
He gets knocked out, doesn't
he? He gets knocked out, yeah. he didn't do anything. He's just there to hold her at the end of it.
And Samara kind of brings her back to life, like, because he's choking mm-hmm. the living heck out of her. And Samara's like, I need you, I
won't be here if you die. Yeah. So I need, that's why I think she was just after her dad. Because he couldn't see, because he blinded himself.
So he couldn't see
never, her. He couldn't see the tape, and then he couldn't see her.
Which apparently doesn't matter in Samara's world. Because apparently Samara can do whatever she wants. She can bring back sight.
She can, yeah. She can,
She's freaking Jesus over here. Yep. Jesus over here. Hey! But, yeah, she... And that was crazy in part two, because, like... I'm sorry. I keep going back to how crappy part two was.
It's hard not to jump back and forth.
But she killed Guy, and Guy had never seen the tape. So it's like, what else can she do without, you know?
She had a possessed little dude.
Yeah.
So,
do you think that gave her more powers? Or
because it gave her influence. Well,
because
she was like psychically doing something to that other...
The psychiatrist. Yeah.
Psychologist, and just made her shoot, I guess, air into her veins.
Yeah.
So she had air, you know, whatever you do.
She just sat there so pleasantly and...
This stuff that's weird. He's like, I want to show you something, and he just looks down.
Yeah.
And I would have just been like, what are you doing, dude?
Your mom beat you, didn't she? But yeah, so I'm not sure of Samara's full abilities.
Dude,
I guess we'll have to...
Almost limitless.
Well, especially now that she's been reborn.
Spread her message all around the world.
So the VHS tape was copied to MP4 file format and digital, I guess, is the best way to put it. And so people could just right-click, copy, paste these video files of the killer video. And that's what they were doing in this little killer cult. And so don't go ahead and jump ahead here so I don't forget, but Samara uses that to her advantage and opens up an email chain and sends those to everybody in the email list, and you instantly start getting responses back of cool, wow, well,
I don't understand that part. Bothered me because I don't think that video, as old as it is, when we first saw it in the first movie, mm-hmm. we probably thought that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, now, but now
they keep using that same video, which is nice. I like that they kept it and they didn't change it and try to do something else to it. Mm-hmm. It was the same video that you saw in the first one, in the third, so many, like 15 years later or whatever it is. But I mean, I don't think people would be like, hey, that's cool.
No, and they'd an age like, where you can Google a man being killed with the thing, you know, like that video is tame. Like, yeah, I say, yeah, definitely. But I guess
I'm pretty sure the majority of those people die too.
Because
they're not going to make a copy.
Yeah, nobody else would know.
Well, that. I don't know. Don't people naturally, when they get stuff like that, share it?
True.
So yeah. Maybe they did.
This is the age mm-hmm. of... So Samara might have screwed herself. Because this is the quote-unquote viral age. People will see a video and they're like, oh my God, Facebook, hit the share button. Yep. Boom. Samara's like, no! So that thing gets shared like billions of times. And then that last guy, probably me, after it has like 8 million views, I'm like, oh, what's this? Click.
Right.
Hey, never share.
Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on what her ultimate goal was. Was it to just spread her message, which isn't really a message, it's just random, you know, clips, visual mm-hmm. clips, or was it hurt people?
Because here's my thing, like this is where I go back to the hurt people, because when she appears in that mirror and it goes to black, you hear a crash and a glass breaking. So I don't know if that meant she broke out of there and killed her, or, you know.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's left open for rings. but yeah, any other points on this one? Yeah, the only thing that annoyed me, one of the things that annoyed me was like there were no real scares because Samara's not really scary. It's just they kept trying to do the whole loud noise. I gotcha. I don't know. You're afraid now, you know.
They'd cut scenes and it'd be an umbrella opening or a dog barking,
mm-hmm.
something like that. But yeah, it was what, PG-13?
Yeah.
I did see some young ones in the theater.
There was some young ones. And there is, I don't think the part two has one F word. But yeah, I think it was from PG-13.
Yeah. It wasn't scary.
No. It was no It Follows. That one still scares me sometimes. I got nothing else for this one.
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's the ring, guys.
Rings.
The ring spectacular. Even though, sadly, I know this. In my opinion, I think the Star Wars spectacular was our best spectacular so far. I'll say, but I felt necessary with these three movies. You know, being kind of big horror films, because in 2010 I read that I was reading a lot about these, but it became the highest grossing horror remake of all time. So
first one,
yes, the first one, yes, which is a big deal, I guess. I mean, your remakes don't normally do amazing, but
right, how do you feel about the whole remake? Like, I know you haven't seen the original remake of The Ring,
mm-hmm.
but do you feel like the remakes are a good idea, or they should just stick with the original?
Well, I am glad these are remakes, because I like when it's American on American, and this is not trying to get racist or anything, but like American on American, I'm like, why are you doing this? Japanese to American, I appreciate it more, because it's Japanese have their own style of mm-hmm. making film, and then Americans have their own style. So I kind of appreciate it more Like, I will definitely go and watch the original Japanese versions, but something about the Americanized version is a bit more appealing to me right now.
Because you're American.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be PC of my way around this.
I mean, you're American, so of course you're going to, you know, lean towards a movie that's made for Americans, you know.
But, yeah, this one, like, the success of this one did spawn other, you know, The Grudge was originally Japanese. I think there were a couple others, but, yeah, so.
I have no problem with the remake from, like, a foreign movie or a book that's being translated by a foreign person, you know, and then we get the American version. I'm totally okay with the American version. In most cases, I like the American version better. But I will notice, like, I'll look up, you know, top 100 of this or a top 100 of that online. And if a movie is mentioned and it has a remake, the original is usually always above
the remake.
For instance, like Let the Right One In.
Yes.
You know, I love those movies. So that one's usually higher up on the list. If, like, top 100 horror movies, it'll be on there somewhere. Let the Right One In will be higher than Let Me In. Even though I prefer Let Me, I think that's the best.
Just still need to see Let the Right One In.
Same way with, like, well, I don't know about list wise, but I prefer the American remake of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo,
okay,
as opposed to the Swedish version. I think it's, you know, way superior. But
I don't think I'm losing hope on getting sequels to that.
Yeah, I don't think it, I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. I've watched all three Swedish versions, and I really wish we'd make American versions of the last two, because it's, I like that series.
Well, they would have to use her, right? But what about Craig? Would he have to?
Yep.
Yeah, he would have to. Okay. Because I haven't read the books past the first one or seen the Swedish movies. Yeah. Well, cool. Grudge next time. No, I'm joking. I don't like The Grudge as much as I like The Ring. But yeah. That's would you revisit Ring 3 maybe in the future?
Absolutely. I'd watch it again.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about 2.
Yeah. But 2, I don't think I'll ever watch it again.
I did, like, even though I didn't love it, I wouldn't tell somebody to run out and watch it right away.
3?
3, yeah. I wouldn't tell anybody to watch 2, but
yeah.
Like, it was, I enjoy watching that. I mean, I had a good time and it entertained me. I liked seeing where they went with the story. There's just so many things I didn't like about it, like the leads, like I said. Mm-hmm. There's some holes in the story, in the plot. I mean, it's just, I don't know, are good that I still enjoyed it, even though it wasn't a great movie.
Yeah. And I enjoy the way they modernized it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was worried on them doing something cheesy to bring it to now.
I think it would have been good if they would have stuck with the VHS. And this is why, because it would have been harder for people to make a copy to share it with somebody.
Oh.
And they could have introduced that element to people trying to run around, find a VCR. Like, oh, crap, let's go find grandma and grandpa. They probably still have a VCR, and then get me, you know, in their house and make a copy and show it to the grandparents or something. So it would have made sense if they would have kept a VHS, because then you'd have that whole extra element, whole layer to the story.
True.
But I understand the whole, they got to go with the times.
But, yeah, because, like you said, she came out of a phone at the end, so that kind of relates to the now. Like, whereas in 2003, when we first saw her coming out of a television, it's like, whoa, maybe the kids these days, the kiddos, will see her coming out of a phone and be like, whoa, let me put this down. But, yeah. So Samara, in my opinion, has lost any frighteningness. I don't think she's scary at all. What about you?
No, not at all. I will say this though: when you watch, like it's weird when you watch a movie, and like you remember it one way as opposed to the way it was actually played out. Because I remember the first Ring movie,
yes,
and I swear, like in my memory, that there was more of her coming out of a TV.
Yeah,
like I feel like she was all over the movie, like coming out of TVs or something.
And I think,
but it only happens once.
The scary movie screwed that up because they use her in that trailer a lot. I don't know. But yeah, it does only happen once, doesn't it?
It only happens once at the very, very end. But I just feel like in my head that it happened more. Like there was more of her coming out of TVs running around killing folks. But it didn't. It didn't only happen that one time. And that's just weird. Like that moment must have been so good
that, you know, stuck in
my head that it went in my head and made me think that there was more of it than there actually was. So that's, you know, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
They actually did a good job.
It's only once in every movie, isn't it?
No, and the other ones, she was running on TVs all over the place. Running on something. Like, if it was just the imagery of her, like in the beginning of both of them, and then the end, somewhere in the middle, she was coming out of TVs or whatever, for whatever reason. Like, she came out of the computer in the third one.
Yep.
First, it was the screen and the cockpit, and then it was the computer, I think.
Then the TV. I flipped on the floor.
So it's like, yeah, she's popping out all over the place.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Oh, that's Samara. You evil, evil girl.
Is that a real name, or is that made up for the movie?
Like I said, in the Japanese versions, it was Sadako. I'm not sure how that would be pronounced. Kind of Sadako.
Okay.
Yeah, so... but yeah, we as Americans, we couldn't, I guess, didn't want to use that. So we
made up Samara.
Samara Morgan.
Maybe it is a real name. Someone's probably going to message us and be like, hey, it's real name. I'm Samara. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that's the Rings. We won't do the bad guy movie battle this episode because that'll taint it. I'll take the spectacular. But I do want to do suggestions. You have a suggestion this week?
I do have a suggestion. I think I already told you about this one, but I haven't said it here. It is Zombievers.
Oh.
Did you get a chance to watch that?
I haven't watched it yet.
Actually, I sent you a text. Now, I'm going to read the text that I wrote.
I love that text. I was like, he should be on Rotten Tomatoes.
I know. I'm like, so proud of my little text. Because you had introduced the movie to me. I won't mention the movie that you because we might do something with that one later.
Yeah.
But basically said, after watching that, the movie you suggested, that I still had some brain cells left. So, to spare on another questionably titled movie, and despite its numerous flaws, its mediocre acting, and pathetic special effects, which may have been the point, I found myself comforted by its absurdity, missing the unique characters and hoping a hinted sequel at the very end, past the credits and the bloopers, I don't know what version you're going to watch, gets made. So it's a weird, stupid movie, but for some reason I was just able to turn my brain off and watch it, and just was just entertained all to get out. I was just like, thank you.
If you guys just heard that, this dude should review on Rotten Tomatoes. We need to make that happen, or at least on Go Watch the Movie, start writing some reviews on there.
Right on.
But yeah, I will definitely watch that. That is a great suggestion. I do not have one this week, but it's for good reason. We got three suggestions from listeners. The first being a movie called Mr. Nobody.
Seen it?
Which I have not seen, so I would like that one. Rose, which is a popular one that I have seen, but I've definitely I realize there's two of those. Hmm. There's an old one. Like an old 1979, I believe, one. And then there's a 2005 one. She is probably talking about 2005. And Mr. Nobody came from my buddy Dusty. Where the Red Fern Grows came from Kagan, who has a site called Redeemed Ink. She does some amazing artwork if you want to go check that out. Let's see here. And then the last one is a movie called The Jacket. This one has Adrian Brody, and I have not seen a trailer for it, so I don't know much about it, but I was told it's a must watch.
Cool.
So three suggestions, one you've seen. Mr. Nobody, is that one good for you? Good.
It was an interesting movie. It was interesting.
Well, it'll be a fun suggestion episode.
Yeah, I definitely want you to review it.
So yeah, thank you to those who gave those out. The Jacket was by Jake, who is a fellow I work with. But yeah, thank you for giving those out, guys. And we will take more. Those will get done and watched. Be episodes that we enjoy. I think all those will be better than Zone Troopers.
Sorry, Steve.
But and Mr. Steve, he has a name now on the show, but Mr. Steve still says Osmodeus is not a villain. I'm going to go and throw his mom out a window and commit heinous murders and see if he thinks I'm a villain. But it'll all be for the greater good. So I'll be just a... anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I think that will wrap up Go Watch the Movie for this week. You got anything else, sir?
That is it.
I will tell you where to find us, though. You can find us on Facebook, gowatchamovie.com/something like that. But Facebook, search Go Watch a Movie will come up. You can find us on Twitter, Watch a Movie, Go Watch a Movie, gowatchamovie.com. You can find the podcast on gowatchamovie.com, iTunes, Podomatic. Anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find us. And we still have cups for sale, coffee mugs. If you want to get a coffee mug, the link's on the Twitter. The link is on the Facebook page. I'll tweet that out again. But those are going to a good cause to get some mics up here. If you hate the mic issues, which we haven't had in a while, then you can help out change that. But yeah, get a mug and... you get that free exclusive podcast that no one else but mug buyers will get. And yeah, just follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Check out gowatchmovie.com. We may get some reviews from Mr. Robert.
You never know.
But yeah, I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
Go watch a movie. 7 days.